The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I'm John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Craig Martin of Dynan Capital, manager of the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust. How are you doing, Craig?
Very well, thanks, John. Yeah, great to talk to you again.
Good to have you on. So yeah, it's been a really strong start to the year for Vietnam and for Vietnam Holdings. The index has had a really good performance this year. Yours has been even better. What's behind the index performance to start with?
Look, I think since November last year, actually, the index has been on a pretty strong clip. Domestic investors that drive the market, feeling pretty positive that the year that we're in, 2024, was going to start well. And after the Lunar New Year, it certainly has. So it's been strong. Just this week, there's been a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of uncertainty, I guess, globally about sticky US inflation, therefore sticky high interest rates. And I think that hits emerging markets particularly. So domestic markets, investors are plugged into that. So we saw the market come off. But as you say, over the last 4 or 5 months, the index has been strong. And for Vietnam Holding, our net asset value has been strong and continued to outperform the index.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, you mentioned this recent sell-off, and as you say, there's a bit of profit taking there. There's perhaps some concerns around sort of some of the geopolitical issues that are sort of rearing their ugly head at the moment. Supply chain disruptions again sort of hitting trade potentially.
Well, I think it's a combination of things, but I would stress the point that I made just a while back, that the domestic market is really, it's driven by retail investors. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of assessing and weighing up all of the factors in the news that impact them. Sometimes it can be simple things like there's a holiday coming on, which there is today in Vietnam, or, you know, there's something happening in the capital markets, an option reset or something like that. But they do keep plugged in to what's happening globally. Vietnam interest rates have been coming down over the last year. And obviously, a hope and expectation eventually the US interest rates will come down, but they haven't yet. So there is a bit of a differential. And so that's translated into some weakness on the local currency, the Vietnam dong. Nothing to worry about yet. These currencies over the last 30 years, they depreciate about 2.5%, 3% per year. And we've seen in the rest of Asia, actually, currencies even weaker. The Japanese yen, you know, kind of like all-time lows against the US dollar. So that is something they look at. But then there's positive news. In Vietnam, Tim Cook kind of visited and was pushing the Apple story and engaging with Vietnamese companies that are part of his existing kind of supply chain, but also potentially part of the future content supply chain. And that goes down well. And so I think it's been a mixed story. But generally, market's been on a bit of a positive feel for the last 4 or 5 months. There's been a lot of noise about next year potentially getting the upgrade under the FTSE Russell to emerging market, secondary emerging market status, which we've mentioned about before. And again, the government's been coming out with very positive statements that that's what they want to see happen. And they want to make that happen. So I think people have been feeling pretty good on that. We've seen domestic liquidity. So in Vietnam, those retail investors, the 7.5 million retail investors, buying more stock, the daily liquidity has been at almost record levels, you know, close to $1.2 billion a day. So that's a sense of kind of market mood. Come off over the last couple of days, just before the holiday, 5% down one day, up 1%, down 2%. So that's perhaps a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of a pause for breath. And when the markets reopen tomorrow, let's see where we go to. But as you say, it's been great to see that the market perform. And also for us, for Vietnam Holding, it's been great to see the stock price perform as well, particularly over the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, as we've already mentioned, you know, Vietnam Holding has held up very well indeed. Perhaps better than the index, and it continues to be the sector outperformer. What are you doing differently to tap in? I mean, the secular Vietnamese story, the growth story, is amazing. What are you doing differently to outperform further?
Well, as you say, the our performance is strong. Over the last 6 months, we're up, say, 10%. The index is up 5%. Over the last 5 years, we're up 88%. The index is up about 40%. And actually, that outperformance goes 1, 3, 5, 10, even 15 years. So, as you say, we must be doing something different to the index. And we're an active investor, so we're engaged with our portfolio companies. We're also a concentrated investor. Our portfolio's got, the top 10 stocks account for about two-thirds of the portfolio, and we've only got about 25 stocks. There are 1,500 stocks publicly traded in Vietnam. So, we're very selective, we're very picky, and we're also able to be nimble around our stock and our portfolio decision-making and our construction of our portfolio. So, we've managed to dodge a few traps. We're not the index, so we don't have to hold everything in the index. So some sectors we like, but we think the winds are currently against them, so we may be underweight those. We've got outperforming positions and overweight positions in some of the technology plays in FPT, our number one position, and in Jemadep, which is a big logistics play. So we can back our convictions. We meet regularly with the companies to reaffirm that they're on the right path that we're on. We're trying to help them. We're helping a couple at the moment as they look at doing their net zero plans and their carbon capture and their carbon data capture, I should say, rather than carbon capture and reporting. So, when we're meeting with these companies over, the months and the years, we get a sense that they're doing the right thing, they're on the right track. And so we can back those. There are many companies that we've had in the portfolio that they're in the sidelines for now because, just the climate's not been great. The real estate sector has not been good over the last couple of years in Vietnam. There's a big announcement a couple of last week, a capital sentence, so a death sentence passed on a real estate entrepreneur who embezzled the state of anywhere between $12 billion and $40 billion, depending which news source you go to. So obviously, those things kind of cause a little bit of concerns in the domestic real estate market. So we've been underweight that. So stock selection, portfolio construction, doing simple things well, being nimble, and being humble has helped us over many years now in terms of our outperformance to the index. And I would say also, to be fair, we've also outperformed the other peers, the other investment trusts in the UK that are focused on Vietnam. And most of those are much larger than us. So again, being nimble has really helped. And we've seen over the last 4 or 5 months, actually, our discount to net asset value has really narrowed, which is a good thing. Last year averaged about 12%. It's down to about 1 or 2%. Whereas perhaps the peers, they're still seeing their discounts at maybe 20%. So we're delighted with that. We haven't had to do share buybacks since the end of last year when we had an AGM and an EGM. And that EGM put in place something quite innovative, basically an annual redemption feature where investors can know that they can redeem their shares back at NAV. We're not encouraging people to do so. But there's a feature and a facility that's there. And I think the fact that that facility is there gives a lot of comfort to investors. They can say, okay, it's an investment trust, you're quite small, but there's good daily liquidity in the stock market. And actually, our liquidity has doubled over the year as well in terms of on the London Stock Exchange. So that's good. And then they know that if circumstances change on an annual basis every September, there's a tender opportunity for them, or they can redeem their shares. So I think that helps, and that has seen the discount almost disappear. I don't want to curse it, but it's
I'm
almost
looking at it
disappeared.
right now, and it's almost at parity, which is quite an unusual feature of investment trusts. And I mean, the redeemable shares facility must really have helped
It
that.
must help. Yeah, this is it's. It, hasn't been there for a long time. Most investment trusts, they don't get to that level, or it's rare that they do. So yeah, we're at a very low discount. If we can stay at no discount or a slight premium over a period of time, then the obvious question is, can we issue more shares? And that would be great. Get an opportunity to grow the size of the fund and bring other investors that are attracted to the exciting story of Vietnam in a very well-managed discipline investment trust. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. A swallow doesn't make a summer. I think that's the expression, or spring. So let's see. But we're just doing the same thing. We're finding good companies, engaging with them, managing the portfolio well, hopefully communicating what we're doing well to investors. And the board are very active in, you know, making sure that investor interests are well served in a very transparent manner in the trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a really, you know, amazing economy to get exposure to, and obviously you offer a great route into that. I mean, the recent trust update is packed full of positive figures. It's hard to actually focus on any single one of them. The thing that looked most interesting to me was the cooperative agreement that the Vietnamese government had recently signed with the Australian government. This is kind of just feels indicative of this shift towards emerging market status.
Look, I think it's very interesting. And obviously this is where Vietnam over the last 30, 40 years has kind of stepped onto the world stage and negotiated both trade agreements with many countries. It's got 15 or 16 free trade agreements, and bilateral as well as multilateral agreements. And then it's kind of worked hard to improve the quality of its dialogue with key nations. So, you know, historically with Russia, it was its first friend in the late 70s, and China, which has been had a diplomatic relationship with for 70 years, and then with Korea and Japan and these countries. And then I think we've mentioned before at a previous call last year, we had two world leaders in the space of 6 weeks. Mm. Where Joe Biden came in and Vietnam raised the US to comprehensive strategic partner. China came in, Xi Jinping came in 6 weeks later, already a comprehensive strategic partner, but very positive kind of building of bridges there. And then since then, Vietnam has strengthened to a comprehensive strategic partner with Japan and then with Australia. And obviously there's a global undertone to this, which is countries want to find friends. So Australia, Japan, US, Europe want to find friends in Asia. Perhaps, you know, there's a changing shift in the kind of power struggle between, say, the US and China. Mm. And, you know, countries are looking at longer term relationships, how they manage in this new world. I mean, I think post-pandemic, there's this kind of move away from globalization. I don't think it's a good thing. Globalization served the world well for 70 years, right? Since the end of the Second World War. But pandemics change behaviors, I think. And so we've seen this kind of deglobalization start. We saw it obviously actually pre-pandemic with the US in 2018 when Trump came in and started bashing China. But we've certainly start to see this. And so I think people are trying to build good networks and relationships for the future. And Vietnam's seen as a friendly shore. And now that's a friendly shore in terms of trade. If you're going to bring your investments back home, you can't do it all. So you find a near shore or you find a friendly shore. And I think Vietnam's a friendly shore for these manufacturers, partly why Tim Cook from Apple was in Vietnam. But also I think people look at this more joined up in a way of looking at kind of diplomatic ties and national ties. And they see Vietnam, it's a big country, 100 million people. It's a big producer of a lot of stuff made in Vietnam. It's an important part of these countries' supply chains, but it's also an important market. 100 million people, young, high GDP growth. And for someone like Australia, which is a very interesting market in itself, it's been very active in Southeast Asia for many years. And diplomatically, it's been involved on and off with Vietnam, you know, for many, many years as well. But there's more that can be done. And I think that's being recognized now. Many years ago, we had a couple of big Australian banks very active in Vietnam. I think they've decreased their activity as they had to retreat to Australia because of domestic issues. But it's good for countries like Australia to find partners in Southeast Asia. And so, you know, Vietnam is cleverly building these bridges with many nations. Trade, investment, you know, both attracting foreign direct investment into Vietnam, which is a big powerhouse for the economy. And that's really driven the GDP growth, the economic growth over the last 30 years at 6.5% per annum. So well positioned in that. And then there's a softer side, tourism. Australians like to go to Bali. We can only go to Bali so many times, right? Vietnam's got a lot to offer. Beaches, mountains, fantastic food. And likewise, the other way around. A lot of Vietnamese send their kids to university in Australia and to Melbourne and places like that. So these are softer sides, but it's building good relations and exchange of ideas in what is a changing world and the kind of new order for globalization that may emerge over the next couple of decades.
Yeah. No, it does seem that the Vietnamese government are making many smart moves to really, deliver on all of the potential levers that will drive the economy forward. And obviously, you're in the right place to tap into that. Craig, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, as always. And I hope to catch up with you next year in Vietnam when I become one of those tourists.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Yeah, we'll take you for a bowl of pho and a beer.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Craig.
Cheers. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.